as the children have gone, we can have some fun now. So, I've brought some chocolates. I'm going to give you a tub for your row. Do you want to take a chocolate and pass them on down the rows, okay? Yeah, you can have one for this side, Lisa. There you go. Take the chocolate, pass them on. Here we go. I'm going to start it there. And during our talk today, if you want, there's bits of paper around the room. There's also some pens on the organ at the back and some pencils that I've got at the front here. I'll leave near the front on one of these chairs. If you want a pencil or a pen and a bit of paper, later on there's an opportunity if you want to write a question down, that you can do that. I'll explain a bit more about that in a moment. In fact, yes, I'll explain now. So during the talk today, we're starting a new series today. It's called In the Beginning. What we've started is a new course called Basic Christianity, exploring some of the basics of Christian faith. And today's talk is called In the Beginning, God. So that's our very first one. But we're doing about 10 of these over the next 3 or 4 months. And 10 or 12 of them, can't remember exactly. And the last Sunday of every month, I'm giving the opportunity for people to... I'm going to try and answer some of your questions, okay? So if during the course of today's service you have a question about anything that we talk about, then you can write it down, anything that comes to mind. You can write it down on a bit of paper. It might happen halfway through the message or at the end or right at the first line of the message. You can write it down, and at the end... I did want to get a big question and answer box. I'll try and get that for next week. For now, we're having to make do with a Christmas bag. Okay? So, if you've got a question at the end, you can put your question that you write on your bit of paper in here. So the paper and pens is just to remind you of that opportunity. And you can make use of them if it comes to mind and you forget later. So I've got some more paper there. I'll leave that there. Okay, so we've got the chocolates, kids have gone, we can play a game now. So, let's play a game. The first game we're going to play is Who Am I? And here's the first clue, Who Am I? I usually ask how the doctor is. Anyone got an idea of who they think this person might be?
Dr. Boss.
Good guess, but it's not right. Let's have a second clue. People say I've got large ears. Yes? Is it Bugs Bunny? Let's have the third clue. My favourite food is carrots, and the answer is Bugs Bunny. Well done. It is indeed Bugs Bunny. Let's do another one. Who am I? First clue, I work for a fast delivery service.
Postman Pat.
Could be. Let's do the second clue. My favourite colour is red. Are we still Postman Patting? Third clue. Oh, Dan's getting his chocolate. Dan, can we have the third clue, please? I only really work one day a year. We're changing our minds now. Put the answer up. Father Christmas. Yes. Yes. Okay, let's do one more. Let's do one more. Who am I? Something I'm too judgmental. Second clue. I often work with a panel of folk. Dragon, Simon Cowell. Third clue. I've definitely got the X Factor. Simon Cowell, there he is. Okay, I want you to do one now. Let's put the next one up, Dan. There's the answer. Who am I? The answer is God. Discuss. What questions could you put there for that? Discuss amongst yourselves, okay? Discuss amongst yourselves what kind of questions could you put where the answer is that? For who am I? Have a little talk. Okay, let's see if we can get one or two answers from you. So give me a question. This section, give me a question. Anybody, shout one out.
There used to be a lot of fake versions of me.
There used to be a lot of fake versions of me. Okay, are there not anymore? Okay, there used to be a lot of fake versions of me. This one? Anyone here?
Who created the world?
Who created the world? Okay, who created the world? I was asking this section. You meant to wait your turn. Okay, and who created the universe? Now, you can't have anyway, because it's too similar to who created the world. So now we need a different one. Thank you for trying anyway. Good. A different one, yes?
One of three.
Okay, interesting. Interesting. Some people are frowning at that one. Interesting. This section. Some people think I'm too judgmental, like Sam and Carl. Yes, true. And what was that one? I am who I am. Okay. Oh, you can tell he used to be senior deacon, can't you? Hey? Okay. It's interesting, isn't it, how we describe God when someone asks us to describe God. And that's what we're looking at today. Now, there's a lot of... get this right. There's a lot of... isms around, that's the word I'm looking for, isms around, that are different phrases that describe people's different aspects or different thoughts on God, shall we say. The most, one of the well-known ones is atheism. Atheism. And atheism, of course, says there is no God, which is what quite a lot of people believe. There isn't any God. He doesn't exist. This is it. This is all there is. I'm not going to spend time today trying to prove the existence of God. There's lots of arguments for it, and we'll come to just mention those briefly at the end. But my purpose today is not to try and prove the existence of God, because my understanding is that the majority of people here already believe in God. My aim today, with looking at In the Beginning God, is to look at who is God. How can we... know him, understand him better, and so on. So that's the kind of aim where we're going today with this. And in fact, one of the reasons I'm not going to go down that route is because the Bible doesn't try to go down that route either. The Bible doesn't try to prove the existence of God. In fact, the Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Actually, that's twice. There's two Psalms. We'll put the Psalms up. There's two Psalms, Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. They're almost exactly the same. If you have a look at them, you can have a look at them when you get home. Both Psalms are almost word for word, exactly the same, except this one has one more verse in it, I think, or one of them, I can't remember which, has one more verse in it. One's got about six verses and one's got seven. But they're the first two verses of both, so you can get the idea of what I'm talking about. It's as though the Bible wants to emphasise right there in the central book in the Bible, the fool says that there is no God, but obviously there is. So I'm not going to try in this message to attempt to prove the existence. What I am looking at to start with is some commonly held views. So here's some more of those isms, along with atheism. Deism is one. Deism is that God created the universe, but he isn't actively involved in it now. He's not actively involved in sustaining it. That's one view that people have. Another is dualism, that God and Satan are two completely equal but opposing forces in battle. Deism can be brought into lots of different aspects of life, but when we're talking spiritually or about God, that's what we're talking about. It's that there's God and Satan, say, and they're both about as powerful as each other, and they're both fighting each other in this big cosmic battle, and it's who's going to win. So that's a view that there is. Pantheism is that God is everything and everything is God. So God is in this table and God is in the floor and God is in the animals and God is in everything, really. The trees and birds and all that kind of thing. And it's kind of like God, it's not looking at God as creator and his creation. It's looking at God is the creation and God is all these kind of things. So that's pantheism. Polytheism is God is just one of many gods. Hinduism would go along with that, for example. There's lots of different gods. And the god that we worship would just be one that would be thought of as such. And Star Warsism I've put as the last one, just as a different one. There we go. That's to sum up some of the strange ones out there. Star Warsism is that God's an impersonal, powerful force. A bit like lightning, in a sense. He can't be known. he can't be known. It's just some kind of the Force, you know? So that's I've put that down as Star Warsism. I think there is something called Star Warsism, actually. But there you go. These are the kind of views that are around. What does the dictionary have to say about who God is? If you ask the dictionary, who is God? It says he's a supernatural and immortal being, a deity, a creator and ruler of the universe. Or even, you can look under there, it says idol as well. For some people, it's an idol. Where did he come from, God? Well, this is where we get our verse that we talked about before. In the beginning, and this is the very first chapter of the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the clue is in that. In the beginning, God. He was just there at the start, as was said before. Now, the thing is, some people say, well, it can't just be there at the beginning. They want some other explanation for what was at the beginning. And I say, well, okay, say I tell you the other explanation for what's at the beginning, okay? Say I say this was at the beginning. What would your next question be? Who made that? Yeah? And then if I tell you who made that, what would your next question be? Who made that? And next, who made that? And we could keep going and keep going and keep going. And what we get to is, in the beginning, God. God is the name we give to the thing, the person, the whatever it is at the beginning. He is the name of that thing. Okay? And some people say they can't get their heads around that, but I kind of find it harder to get my head around the fact that there isn't something at the beginning. Do you see what I mean? So God is what we know at the beginning. In the beginning, God, and from him, everything else came. Creation came, the heavens and the earth, and so on. So where did he come from in the beginning? There wasn't a beginning, he was the beginning, in effect. What does he look like? If I ask you to draw a picture of God, it might be interesting. And now some people might draw Jesus, probably the senior deacon would. And that would be good in that sense, because that's the most... But we don't know what Jesus looked like either, do we? So we would draw a man just because we know that God showed himself in human form. God came Emmanuel, God with us in human form. But does that summarise who God is? Just a physical being? No, it doesn't. It's much more than that. The Bible says God is spirit and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and truth. John 4:24. So God, we can't draw God or make an image of him out of something, because he doesn't look like anything we can understand or know, which is why God says, don't make any graven image of me. Don't try and make something and say, this is me and worship me, because that would be false. That would be to try and contain me in an object, in an idol, in a statue or something like that. That would not be right, because I can't be contained in something, especially something made by man. You know, and I'm not just an item in creation like a tree because that's something I made. It isn't me. So God is spirit. It's distinctly different than anything else we can know or understand. What's he like? Well, from what we read in the Bible, God is relational. He's personal, first of all. He is someone we can relate to. He is someone who we can relate to, and he wants to relate to us. He has morality, he has personality, he has all of these kind of things, and he's also, the Bible kind of seems to show us that he's a word that was used before, Trinity. Now, it doesn't explicitly use the word Trinity in the Bible, but that's a man-made word to describe the persons of God that we tend to see as we read through Scripture. The Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, all of which are referred to in the Bible often. And those three, in some way, held together as one. There is only one God, the Bible says, and And so it isn't that there's three gods, there's one God, but in some way they're all together. Now, people have tried to describe the Trinity in different ways. I used to try and describe it as trifle when I was younger. Custard, you know, jelly, custard and cream. But it's not trifle unless you've got jelly, custard and cream. You've got separate bits, but it's not really trifle. Trifle is the three together. You know, that isn't good enough, really. It's a sad attempt to do it. Here's another one I've used. It's water, ice and steam coming off it. So, you know, when a lake on a cold day and it gets cold and it begins to freeze the water near the top and then the sun comes out and it starts to steam coming off it, yeah? And it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing, but it's in three different forms. You get that? All at the same time. They can all be there at the same time. So I've kind of looked at it like that as well. But again, it's lacking in some way. And some people have talked about atoms, protons, neutrons, electrons, you know. There's lots of different ways people... But I think it's unique and we can't describe it. These are the ways in which we try to do. But somehow, the key is that God is relational in himself. He is relational, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Yet he is one God. And he wanted to create relational beings in us. He wanted us to be relational. Therefore, he said, you know, let's make man in our own image. He wanted to relate to him. And then he wanted us to be relational. So let's let man and woman get together and have family and so on and let them be relational with one another. God is all about relationship and it's personal. But he's also, God is revealed in Jesus. And we've got that passage and many other places like John 14, 8 to 10. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who's doing his work. Some people have said in the past that to me, I'm sure they've said to you, you know, well, if God appeared, if God showed himself, then I might believe in him. Well, he did. Emmanuel, God with us, he did. He came in human form and he appeared and walked amongst us. And some people believed him, but some people didn't. The problem is, he came and some people want him to appear now. But if he came now, let's say he appeared this morning in the church here, and we go out from here and we tell everyone about it. Guess what? God showed up this morning here, physically. He was there. And you go out and tell people. You know what they say? They want to see him too, wouldn't they? Because they'd have to take our word for it, you know? So let's say he showed up there as well. Let's say he showed up in the church down the road. And let's say he showed up in Chelmsford City Centre. And it was on the news afterwards that he'd been in Chelmsford City Centre. Manchester wouldn't be happy. They'd want him to appear there as well. And then let's say he appeared all over England. Well, you know the Scots would be at us, wouldn't they? You know, they'd be like wanting it as well. And let's say he played all around the UK, all at once, everywhere. Well, then the rest of the world would be like wanting him to be there. And let's say he appeared all around the world, all at once now, in 100 years' time. No, let's make it 150, because people live a long time now. 150 years' time. They'd all be saying, well, he didn't do it when we were here. We wanted to turn up again. So he'd have to be here all the time, everywhere. And you know what that's called? Heaven. But at just the right time, the Bible says he came and he appeared. And the witness went forth from that few group of people. And it spread all around the world. And people believe or don't believe. But God was revealed in Jesus Christ. He did come and walk amongst us. So what characteristics did God have? We've talked about what he's like in that way. What characteristics? How would you describe God? Let's put a few on the board here. How would you describe God? Give me a few words to put on my little board here. My big board. Come on, anything. Characteristics of God. Say again. Oh, that's a big word to start with. Incomparable. Incomparable. Have I spelt it right? Right, if I get any wrong, just let me off. Okay, another one. Loving. That's a nice easy one, isn't it? I'm going to try and change that. Loving. Okay, another one?
Holy.
Holy. And again?
Forgiving.
Forgiving. All right, that'll do. And again?
Generous.
Jealous. Jealous. Okay, jealous God. Okay, yes. Jealous. Just.
Good.
Good. Yeah. Good. Next.
All powerful.
All powerful. All powerful. Any others?
Perfect.
Perfect. It's no good putting your hand up, Cherie. Everyone's too rude. They just shout them out anyway. Just say what you want to say.
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent. Oh. There's always one, isn't there? Omnipresent. Omnipresent. Present. Brilliant. Okay, that'll do, because we're hiding behind the chair now there. Omnipresent. And someone else might come out with another big word and I might get stuck, so that'll do. Good. Okay, so we've got some words there to describe God. Let's have a look. The omnipresent one actually leads us nicely into a few that I put down extra. Here, some characteristics. Genesis 1 talks about God creator. He's immanent and transcendent. He's both involved in his creation, and he is outside of his creation as well. He made his creation. He isn't just in it. He is distinct from it, but he is involved in it. So he is creator and sustainer. Deuteronomy talks about, and Exodus talks about, God is one. So Christianity is a monotheistic faith. Where someone said before, I am who I am. It was our esteemed previous senior deacon said, I am who I am, is what God said. So he just is, and he's one. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, God is everlasting. He's eternal. Just like he was in the beginning, he's to the end, the Alpha and Omega. And he's immortal. He cannot die. Psalm 139, 1-6, God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. Psalm 139, later on, verse 7-12, God is everywhere. He's all the time. That's what that omnipresent means. He's everywhere all the time. Psalm 115, verse 3, God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Omnipotent is all-powerful. And there's lots of other ones as well. We've got them up there, and we've got most of the different ones. Faithful, we could go on and list lots of different qualities. I'm going to ask Ross now to come and read for us our Bible passage today, which is Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18-31. Thanks, Ross.
To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and its goldsmith overlays it with gold, and fastens silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught, and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these things? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Thank you, Ross. I wonder if our, when you read a psalm like that and think about it, to try and understand God, for me to stand here and try and explain God, and for us to try and understand him, it's an impossible task. How can our tiny brains in our heads, understand the God that we've just been describing? How can we understand him in all his fullness, in all his omnipresence, in all his omnipotence, in all of those things? You know, God is so great and beyond our comprehension, in one sense. He's so almighty. And yet, in another sense, he longs to be known and in relationship with us. This is one of those great mysteries, those great things that we hold in tension, like a lot of things we read in the Bible, as we try and get our heads around this. But I will never fully understand God. I wonder which characteristic on the board or that we've talked about this morning you most relate to when you think about God. Someone said before, judgmental. Sometimes people think of God as being judgmental, like a big judge waiting to catch us out. Some people think of him as being, jealous, it's all got to be about him, and that's how they think about God. Other people see him as really loving. Some people see him as holy and kind of very distant because he's so holy and we're so not. I wonder how you relate to God in a personal way, how you relate to this God we've been talking about. Joanna, can you come and help me with something? Thanks, Joanna. You know, over the different centuries, people have developed lots of different ideas about God. And let's take this man, for example, who worships a Santa Claus God. Hey, God. How are you doing? God, I've just I've got my list. Okay, what I'd like is, I'd like, please, a new car. My old car, it's not very cool, so I'd like a Porsche, please, instead, if I can have that. That would be good. And also, I want one of those latest phones. I mean, the iPhone 7 now, that's kind of a bit out of date. iPhone 9 is about to come out, and so I want one of those, please, when it does. And also, I've got an exam next week. I need to make sure I pass that and get a really good grade in it. A distinction? No, actually, make it A+. Distinct. A will do. That's fine. What else? I'm in a race next week. Can you just make sure I win that one as well, please? Just while you're at it. Thank you. I think that'll do for now. Thanks, God.
Sure thing, Sam. Just name your request, and you'll get blessed.
Thank you. So some people think of God like a Santa Claus God. Some people think of him like a bit of an ogre God. God, I'm really sorry. I kind of messed up. I knocked a jar off the cabinet and it broke, and I feel really bad about it. And And the other thing is, I haven't been praying very much recently, and I know I should be doing, and the last time I read my Bible was 4 days ago. I'm really sorry, God, because I know it's really important, and please will you forgive me?
Me? Forgive you? No chance. Get out of my sight.
And some people think of God as the kind of God that just doesn't care. Hey God, I'm really struggling at the moment. I've got an exam, and I'm really struggling with trying to remember everything I've got to remember. And well, my nan's not well as well. She's been quite poorly recently, and well, I've got a bit of a dodgy knee, to be honest, as well. That's kind of been aching a lot, and I could do... God, I'm just talking to you. I'm just telling you I've got a few problems and things. I just wanted to talk to you about it.
You were talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, problems again?
I'm sorry.
I'm kind of busy, like, can't really be bothered. Can you just clear off? Thanks.
But these are all images that people think about God in different ways. So, is God... a Santa Claus God?
Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, drink, or wear? For the ungodly run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first my kingdom and my righteousness.
Is he an ogre God?
I loved the world so much that I gave my only son to save it. If you believe in him and confess your sins, I am faithful and just and will forgive all your sins.
Is he a God that just doesn't care?
I know when you sit. I know when you stand. I know your every thought. I am intimately familiar with all your ways. I hear your cry.
Now, who would we rather put our trust in? The God of the ideas of men or the God of the Bible that says these kind of things? Joanna, can you just come down a moment? I want to just ask you about how you relate to God in a second. Before I do, I know you have had had some exciting things happen. You're president of the Christian Union. No. Not president.
I'm a small group leader.
You're a small group leader at your Christian Union. You're a leader at the Christian Union, that will do. And but you've just been away, and tell us what happened or what's been going on.
Yeah, so I went away for a week for the leaders of the Christian unions in universities. It was really good. We had some great Bible teaching and worship, and just meeting with other people that are doing the same thing is a real big encouragement. And we've been encouraged to try and read the Bible with our non-Christian friends. So I've been like praying for my housemates and hoping I might be able to do that. And one massive encouragement was on Friday when we left, I checked my phone, and one of my housemates had put up a Snapchat story, which is a picture that all her friends could see, and she put a picture of the Bible, and she captioned it, the best investment I've ever made. So I talked to her, she started reading Genesis, she's going to read the New Testament. She said it was really interesting, really addictive, and I just praise God for that.
Brilliant. This God we're talking about is still changing lives, and so let me ask you, Joanna, how do you relate to God? We've talked about different ways, but how can you relate to God in that kind of close way and the big way kind of thing?
Yeah, so I think it's easy to kind of think of God as distant sometimes, but the God that like cares enough about my friend to get her reading the Bible and cares about my fear of asking them to read the Bible with me, to do that is not a distant God, but like a Father God that loves me and cares about my friends, cares about my worries. When I pray to God, it's not someone, like he is almighty and powerful and could bring my friends to him without my help, but he's a Father that chooses to use me anyway, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. Joanna, you're going back to uni soon and carrying on leading and so on in the CU. It'd be good to pray for you. And also, there's other students going back at the moment to university, so let's just remember them in prayer. Let's do that now, shall we? Second. Father, we thank you for Joanna and the story she's just told. We thank you for what you've done in that friend's life. And we thank you for using Joanna in this way. And we ask that you'll bless her, Lord, as she goes back to university. Help her to shine bright for you and be a witness for you. And we pray for all of us that we know of that are going back to university at this time. And we just pray that you'll help them. It's not easy being in university as a Christian and standing out and shining bright. And we pray that you'll help them to do so. We pray for Christian unions up and down the country, that they will be a great witness. And there'll be many more stories like the one John has shared today in the months and years to come. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, you can put it on there. Joanna mentioned relating to God as Father, our Father God, and of course that image of God being Father does conjure up different things for people. For some people, it's not a great image because they haven't necessarily had a good image of a father, fathers who've let them down, fathers who've been distant, and so on. And yet, Jesus encouraged us to relate to God as Father. And I think what we have to do here is move past our own negative experiences of Father, recognizing that God is the perfect Father. I know it can be hard to do, but we've got to look at him as being the ultimate, perfect, caring, loving Father who both needs to discipline us at times, who needs to say no at times to us and set boundaries and so on, but also is longing to give us good gifts, longing to take us under his wing and welcome us. It helps me, thinking about God, to think of being a father. I've got two daughters. My daughters are here today with me. Amy over here and Beth over here, and Amy's husband, Josh. Go on, give a wave. There they are, in the middle there. So Amy and Beth are here, and I know, I love my daughters to bits. I would do anything for them. Don't ask for money. I love my daughters to bits, and as they were growing up, I would do anything. I love them so much. Did I ever tell them off? Yes. Did they ever get sent to their room? Yes. There were boundaries and things, and sometimes they would cross them like all children do. But was that because I didn't love them? No, not at all. Was it because I wanted to be harsh with them? No, it wasn't at all. Sometimes I got it wrong as a dad. They know that. Sometimes I didn't get it always right. But he's the perfect father, and he does. And he loves us, and he sets boundaries for our benefit, and he cares about us, and he wants to bless us and give good gifts to us. And will he give us everything we want? Will I give them everything they want? If they ask for a Porsche, what about? No, they won't get everything that they want all the time like that. But that's not being a good dad anyway, I don't think, is it? No, it isn't. So I think, it helps me to think of that in that loving way. And the last thing I would want is my kids to come crawling in the bedroom saying, Dad, please can I have a biscuit? I wouldn't want them to be doing that and relating to me. I mean, nor would I want them to just be coming in and going, right, Dad, I want this. I don't want them to be that either. And I want to be there for them. I want to care for them. That's how we need to think about our Father God. Yes, with respect as well. Yes, with respect as well. The amazing thing is, he is this awesome God. He is this creator and everything else, almighty and all-powerful. But the amazing thing is, he wants to be in relationship with us as a loving heavenly Father. That's the God of the Bible, and that's the God who we serve. The story of the prodigal son summarizes it so well, where the son had gone away and left the dad, and he'd gone off, and then when he finally realizes he's messed up, he turns around and he comes back to his dad. And what's his dad doing? Running towards his son. Running out to meet him and throw his arms around him. That's our heavenly Father. And what we need to do is we need to come to that place and say, I'm sorry, I realise I've done wrong. I realise I can't do this on my own. I realise I need you, Dad. I realise I want you, Dad. And I want to come back to you. And then he comes running to us. That's what becoming a Christian is all about. I said at the beginning I wasn't aiming to prove God's existence. But why should we believe in God? I think there's evidence found just in our own conscience. There's people who say we're a God-shaped hole, and all that kind of thing. I think there's something within each one of us that knows there's something beyond ourselves. To every corresponding human need, there's a corresponding fulfillment. So when you're hungry, what do you need to do to fulfill that? eat. When you're thirsty, drink. When you're tired, sleep or rest. And when you're cold, you need to be warm. And there's something within each one of us that needs to worship. We know there's something beyond ourselves. We need to worship in some way. I think there's evidence found in our conscience of wrong and right and within ourselves. But there's evidence from creation. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." God's evidence is there in creation. The psalmist says, Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world." And evidence is found in Christ, as we've said. Emmanuel, God with us. And his life, his death, his resurrection. Evidence found, though, from relationship. Through asking God into our lives. Through believing in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, who puts their trust in me, will have everlasting life." We need to accept that we need him. We need to believe that he's there. We need to confess our inadequacy without him and our own failure, our sin. Say sorry. And then, as we come to him, he takes us in his arms and we receive God in our lives and the blessing of that. And we understand then, when you come into true relationship, that he is there. Ultimately, God is an affirmation of faith. And it takes childlike faith to believe in God, really. You can't prove God. It takes faith. But God may be known is an affirmation of experience. And I guess the remaining question is, do you know him? If you don't know him, you can do. And how well do you know him? And do you want to get closer in knowing him? And I hope over the coming weeks and months, as we journey together, we will draw closer and know God more and relate to this awesome God more and more.
Let's pray together. Our Father God, from the very beginning of creation, your purpose was to have relationship with your people. But we know that we spoiled that relationship by choosing to do things our way rather than listen to you. And to accept that as our Heavenly Father, you know what is best for us. Your Son, our Lord Jesus, came to this earth as fully man and yet fully God, to make a way for us to come back into your presence so that we could accept your forgiveness and stand before you clothed in his righteousness. So as we take this bread and wine, we thank you so much, Father, for that purpose of yours to bring healing and renewal to the relationship which refractured, as we could never bring about that healing ourselves. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth and for your obedience and willingness to undergo a horrible death on the cross to pay for our sin and rebelliousness. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that your presence in your church and in us is a guarantee of our redemption by God through Jesus. So thank you, Father, for the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And thank you that this bread and wine reminds us of the price that was paid for our salvation. And as we take the bread and wine, help us to rededicate our lives to your service. Thank you that you love us so much. In Jesus' name.